Let's stick with Aaron Moon and go to departmental reports.
We start out with gravel road conditions have been a struggle for us this spring. Frost boils have been the main issue, and for some reason, we don't know why, statewide, the frost boils have taken forever to, they have to kind of cure out themselves. It's not feasible to go out there and fix all of them because you essentially would have to dig 5 to 10 foot of that road out and put back solid material, and that just isn't feasible. So you kind of have to wait for them to cure out. We got a motor grader operator who's been here 40 years almost, and he said this is the longest by far. It's taken months where it usually takes a week or two for these to cure out. So they've been a struggle. Some of the worst ones, we have put some 3-inch rock, and I hate doing that, but it's a decision. Do you close the road or do you put big rock in it, which you fight for years because it comes back up to the top, and people don't like driving on 3-inch rock. Mm-hmm. We did that in a few locations, but...
I've gotten more complaints this year than my other 5 years combined, I think, as far as the gravel roads, and you try to explain frost boils, and...
People don't understand why you can't come out and just fix it.
Hearing you say it just doesn't make sense why this is the year. Is it more than just Story County, or is this?
It's all
over the state.
It is. Some people are thinking, but sometimes it's after a hard freeze. We didn't have that this winter. Some people think it's a carryover from the previous year. It was such a deep and hard freeze that it created a lot of pores to take the moisture in, and now it's showing back up. It's just trapped in there. Here's a couple pictures. It's kind of hard to see, but it just keeps pumping the mud up. And the more we go out to try to fix them with our heavy equipment, it just pumps up more mud. And, some are caused by poor drainage. This is an issue where you've got shoulder problems, and people that take good care of their area and they mow all the way up the shoulder. So they don't like you to touch that. And we get these high spots, and it can't drain. So it's... We try to work the best we can with landowners to not shave that off, but you can see it creates a mess. And then up here, there's a sloped driveway. Drainage is very key. That's why every, 20, 30 years, these grills have to be regraded and brought back into shape just to get them to drain. But then there's the frost boils. You don't know why they're there. You just scratch your head. But we're dealing with them best we can, and they're about gone at this point, finally. Did experience some flooding last week, actually 2 weeks ago now, down by the Collins area. We had a 7-inch rain. That's always going to cause issues for us.
At least Collins drains well.
Happened again yesterday, pretty much the same area. It got a little bit further west this time, but similar, but it came much quicker yesterday, so... Any gravel road in that whole quarter of the county that has a hill at all, it washed down the shoulders. It just pretty much made a mess out of everything. It's not going to be real costly. I don't think FEMA's going to get involved with it. We have to haul some new rock out there, but almost everything's back open today. There's one or two closures left. One's a bridge. It's got some issues that we have to wait for the water to go down to determine what we're going to fix it with, but... It's a mess, and we're putting all our efforts down into that quarter of the county to get things cleaned up as quick as we can. A couple other maintenance items. Always have a handful of these bridges that get washed out under the back walls, and we have some major holes that we need to fix. I had a handful of those, and then ones we tried to prevent that from happening. We had these riprap to the back slope underneath so that abutment doesn't get washed out. We just recently got this done, and I was out at this bridge yesterday, and the water was up above the touching the beams up here. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks when it goes back down. I think we might have saved a big potential issue with this bridge by doing that. This is right north of the Hickory Grove Bridge. Some pictures of the flooding. This is the one from 2 weeks ago. A lot of those locations, it was probably a 3 to 4 inch drop. It washed some rock in the ditch. Say that one we got open by 8 o'clock the next morning. We had everything back open. Some more pictures. Pictures of the new rock put on. There's rock piles in the ditch, and we'll pull a lot of that rock out when we can. Isaac Walton Bridge. This is our first bridge that usually goes over in the county that tells us we're having flooding issues. And it didn't go over 2 weeks ago, but yesterday this actually went over the bridge. We're down there with the excavator trying to clear the debris out the best we can so it doesn't put too much force on the bridge and lose the bridge.
That's not in the best shape anyway, is it?
No, it's not, and it won't ever get replaced. We looked at replacing it a number of years ago, and it essentially took a 400 or 500-foot bridge because it's such a flat floodplain. You'd have to span the whole thing, and it just isn't feasible. So it's posted pretty low, but we're trying to stretch that out as long as we can until we have to close it. Again, mowing this year earlier than normal with all the wet weather again. We're not supposed to mow until after July 15th, but that's due to safety concerns that we just can't wait that long. So we had all of our payments mowed 2-3 weeks ago, and we're working on some gravels already, and we're going to have to mow the pavements again here before too long. It's growing so fast. Rock hauling. We had two contracts completed this spring. This is south of Ames. All the green roads were hauled by Mark Marietta, and limestone was put down on the cut. It was about two townships worth there. This area is in the southeast quarter of the county, Collins, pretty much south of Highway 30. Again, about two townships, and this is gravel out of the Marshall County pit. We contract hauled down to that area. And then our crews hauled a number of other areas to supplement that. So typically we get about a third to a half, more like a third these days, of new rock in the county on the roads. This is our most expensive area of the county to haul to because Mark Marietta and the Marshall County pit are so far away from it. It costs more to haul it there than it does the actual rock cost. So some people would like to see more limestone down this area because roads get soft when we get rains, and I think we're heading that way because we're kind of running out of gravel, so we don't have a lot of choice anyway, and it's about the same distance. It's just going to cost a little more for limestone than gravel. Highway 69 construction issues. The first phase was they had this 1 mile closed on Highway 69 south of Huxley. Both phases, the same thing happened to us. All this traffic from Huxley that needed to get to the interstate, really the only way out was to take this gravel road. Warned the DOT ahead of time this was going to be a problem, and they always seem surprised still when this is getting thousands of vehicles per day, and we get a heavy rain the first weekend they close the road. It just destroyed the road. We actually closed the road. They could take other routes around it, but we closed it. Our motor grader actually broke down in the middle of the mile, and with the barricades and everything, there was still so much traffic on the road, they just ignored the barricades. We had to get flaggers down just to work on the motor grader. It was like a highway on the gravel road. That just doesn't work, but we got through it. And so the second phase, they closed this whole stretch, which I'm glad they closed the whole thing, because if they cut it off at any point, all this traffic would come down and take the gravel roads. Now it's cut off where Ames, where most of the traffic finds another way out. But the road we're struggling with most is this gravel road right here. This is Ken Merrill Road in Ames, and then they're taking the gravel road. That's mostly the locals that have no other way to get down here, so that's going to continue. But usually takes a couple weeks for the other traffic to realize it's going to be closed to find other routes. But we're struggling with that road. And again, we had a major rain event right when they closed that thing down again, so that was a real mess for a week or so. This will be closed till DOT said August, but they're struggling with the wet conditions like everybody else, and it's already delayed the box culvert construction going on through there, so I think it's going to be longer than that till that gets back open. DOT did dust control a lot of those areas around here out of our concern for safety mainly. So that was appreciated, but we've had to blade through a lot of those dust control spots, and that's what I was going to get to next. It's been a real difficult year for dust control. One thing we did a little bit out of the ordinary this year is we had a few complaints about every year that we didn't put dust control on before Memorial Weekend, and people were going to be outside in their yards. So we tried to bump that up earlier this year and picked a bad year to do that because the roads were so soft still. And right when that dust control was put down, we had some heavy rains the very next day, so we had to blade through a lot of those spots very quickly, and we hate to do it, but when they get the potholes as bad as they were, you have to fix them up for traffic safety. We're going to consider maybe pushing that a little further back next year. We always used to do it in June after Memorial Day because the roads are more firm and it'll hold up better. And it's about getting the people the best bang for their buck with that dust control. You can't put it down too early or it just won't last very long. So that's the direction we're headed next year. I guess more than ever this year, I had the calls. It was April and May. People were calling saying, you got to do something. It's so bad out here. It's outside of our permit area, and that I gave you the reasons why that is. Maybe we need to come up with a special deal where they could call Jericho and have them put it down at their own risk, saying that they could do it if they wanted to. Because right now I tell them, you can't do anything about it. You're just going to have to work your way through it, and they don't like to hear that. But so maybe we'll consider an option where if you want to pay to put it down, you can, but it's your own risk. It may not last very long, and you'll have to get it again in another month or two. Part of our normal application, but
I would say let's just do everything we can to make it really, really clear that it's not going to last very long.
Correct. Our next dust control application is in 2 weeks, July 22nd. That's the week of our second application for the year. And we did do a little experimental test across from the new DuPont plant and the small church that sits on Lincoln Highway out there. We did about a 100-foot stretch. It's a byproduct from the DuPont plant. It's like a lignin tree sap. We used to put that on the roads. It worked okay. I think they're going to have some issues marketing it because it doesn't last quite as long. And like those dust control spots we have to blade through, the calcium chloride, you can blade through those and it'll reactivate because it's just a chemical that attracts moisture. This lignin or this type of material they're putting down is just kind of a coating. And once you blade through that and it's gone, it's essentially useless at that point. And Stenzel used to put that down in the county, and he kind of went out of business. That's probably why he had a hard time marketing it. And it also has a strong odor, a lot like the stuff Stenzel used. It's really sweet. Some people might not like that either. So I'd like to make it work and find a more cost-effective way to do it. And I told them I would approve it for other use in the county, but I think they may have some issues marketing-wise. Moving on to our construction projects, our main project for the year started really early, right after Christmas, the Berry Patch Bridge down south of Nevada here. That was a 120-foot bridge, $397,000. Graves Construction did that for us, and the work was completed in mid-June. That was the old structure that we took out, an old truss bridge, narrow. This is my main concern on that one. I've showed you this in the past. It was just sitting on a small ledge that was deteriorating rapidly. And when the contractor broke it out, they said, you're lucky you did that because that concrete came out way too easy. It was just crumbling. Picture of the construction being a slab bridge. They got to put all these temporary wood piles in to hold up the structure when they pour the concrete. This pier is already poured with the permanent pier. This is the second pier. They got to put their encasing around it to get the concrete poured deep enough. Picture of the deck pour. Pumped the whole bridge across and worked our way back. Went very well. And the finished product. Got it open mid-June. We worked the best we could to get it done. When they start that early, they get actual free time, so their working days don't start counting until April. So they had plenty of time left when they got done working day-wise, so it's hard to push the contractor too hard, but the berry patch is open, they had strawberries going. We were in close contact with them on the timing of everything, and they were very good to work with, but it got pushed maybe a couple weeks longer than we expected because we had some rains right when they were doing finishing dirt work, but I think they did the best they could to get it done. But this same contractor now is moving down to the Hickory Grove Bridge, so that started just a couple weeks ago. Also completed were a couple of box culvert projects, some larger box culverts that were cast in place. This is south of Story City on 550th Avenue. trying to get rid of these high dangerous. You can see somebody hit that one and broke off some concrete, but it was also a very old structure and was undercut, and probably a 100-year-old structure. This is a twin box culvert. You can see the two cells here. More picture of construction. And then the completed project, like I say, there's nothing on the side anymore to farmers to worry about with their wide equipment, so we like to get these box culverts in whenever we can. The second one replaced the bridge over by Maxwell on, or McCallsburg on 640th. This is on a farm to market route. We're trying to use our farm to market money to get the farm to market routes in the best shape we can, replace those bridges so we have at least a good grid system where the farm community can get around and not have to worry about the width restrictions. And again, this is a triple box culvert, so this is about the biggest size we go. And the finished product, again, wide open. You wouldn't hardly even know anything was there when you get done. We have four box culverts left this construction season. They're all cast in place box culvert or precast. One is here just south of Colo. One's over here, Sand Hill Trail Curves. The third one is down here on 670th Avenue, and this is the bridge we're struggling with trying to keep open until they can come in and replace that. The back walls are tilting in on that one. That's when we kind of moved up in the program quickly. After all this rain and flooding down there, I'm not sure we're going to be able to keep that open for another month or two until the box culvert comes in, but we're going to try our best. The fourth one's not shown, but it's on the paved route, S27. It's in this location here. These are all under the same contractors, and the late start date is August 1st for construction, so this could be August when this starts, and that'll be closed for a good month or two, so we'll have a detour for all the Maxwell traffic, post a detour on S14 over here. We'll probably have to do some dust control on these 2 miles because there'll be a lot of traffic that'll still come up and use that, I'm sure. We've already sent notifications out by letter to a lot of landlords in this area and posted stuff down in Maxwell, but when we get a better date, we'll put out some more notifications. We did, this is HSIP, which is the Highway Safety Improvement. We got it's a competitive grant we got with the federal government. Ended up being about $150,000, 100% paid by federal money. These dark lines are the roads, but we got this. It's milled in edge line paint is what it was. They recognize a lot of counties don't have the money to put edge line on all their pavements anymore, so they're kind of letting their lower traveled roads go. But that's where the accidents happen. So they want to address those and put some money into those, some longer lasting edge line. What they do is they come with a mill first on that edge, so it creates a small lip that this paint sits down in. And that's the finished product. You can kind of see that they sprinkle glass beads on the top, and that's what creates the reflection on that paint. And it doesn't take one winter for our snowplows to just shave those beads right off. And so by setting this down a little bit, protects all that. And it's a higher quality paint, so it should last longer. Hope to get at least 5 to 7 years out of this, but we're going to monitor those close and see if it's worth the cost. But it is very costly to do that, so I doubt we'll go with this on the rest of our paint. But it's a different way to go. Another maintenance item on pavements is our slurry crack filling we did. This is to alleviate those really hard transverse bumps you hit, the cracking, and on asphalt pavements that gets wider and wider over the years. So the slurry kind of levels it out, and really, it's really noticeable by the traveling public when you do that because it just smooths the road out nicely. These dark roads are the ones we did. This contractor we hired almost a year ago now, and it took them that long. They just got this completed last month. They're very hard to get in because they're in high demand. So while they were in, we actually added some roads. We actually did S27 south of Highway 30 and this Kelly Road over here and one more mile south of Cambridge. And this one was in preparation for overlay next year. If you smooth that out before you put the overlay on it, those reflective cracks won't come in quite as quickly. But we did over 20 miles of that. I want to touch a little bit just quickly on our FY15 budget. We wrapped up the year on a good note, got nearly all of our money spent. Most of the unspent money was construction, which is just the construction season falls in the middle of the year. We experienced some considerable savings on fuel due to the low fuel prices, $95,000 we saved in fuel alone. And we did save some additional money on parts, mostly due to our motor grader lease program. And a lot of that's tires. And I think we'll continue to see that go down even more in future years. But we bought some things that we've been putting off for a long time, so we did spend some additional money that year, but we still saved.
Outstanding. You mentioned that one of our motor graders broke down there south of Huxley.
Yeah.
What happened there?
That was simply a hydraulic hose, and it was kind of an original defect from CAT, so they came up and fixed it for us out of our warranty, so it was at no cost, but it was just a hassle where it broke down. Those things happen. We do need to amend the FY16 budget possibly if we identify where we want to spend this additional road use tax money. We didn't budge that in because we didn't know at that time that we were going to get somewhat in the area of $600,000 additional local funds. I've identified already about $200,000 for some additional crack sealing and North Dakota maintenance overlay. On a good note, the ceiling, we went out for competitive quotes already, and they came in much lower, so we may not need that much more additional for that. And the North Dakota maintenance overlay, that's actually starting today. Manats is out there because 69 has been delayed, so they moved up there, and they're going to do that last stretch north to where it matches in with the PC. But in all, that's not going to cost near the extra $200,000, so we have an extra $500,000. At least
help me, because I thought we had, I know we didn't budget for it originally, but I thought we had conversations since that where you had identified pulling some bridges up into the program, and that's where those dollars are going to be spent. Am I remembering that correctly?
That was the farm to market side of the funding.
That's the farm to market.
Those are all farm to market projects, and yes, those, because the 600 is just strictly local. There's an additional $250,000 in the farm to market, and so that's where we could bring those up in the program. Those were additional, and we're trying to identify more smaller stuff with the local money that we can do if that's where we want to spend it. But we can talk about that budget time because that happens already in October. We'll have plenty of the year to spend it or just carry it over to the next year. We can do that too. I just want to touch on the secondary roads shed by Kelly. We're trying to identify some land to build, preferably 1 to 2 acres. It's unfortunately been a struggle trying to find some land. I didn't think it'd be easy, but trying to get farm ground this day and age is pretty difficult. This is the Kelly Corner area we've been looking at. We kind of expanded our search down Highway 69. Just to give you a few areas that I've looked at in detail. This is, go back to 69. It's this intersection over on 69. I thought I found the perfect spot because the stream cut this 3-acre piece out, so it's difficult to farm in the first place. So we approached the landowner, and it turned out he's one of our motor grader operators that actually farms that, and he was all for it. So we thought we were headed, and then he talked with the family, and the family issues of splitting up the family farm, it usually comes into play, and I understand that, and so it could fell through. I was pretty optimistic about this one because it was a perfect spot right off a pavement, but that fell through, and then as we were looking at that one, this farmer tore all these buildings down, so we tried to contact him to see if he'd be interested, and no, he's not. And back to the Kelly Corner. This is the lot that is still open for purchase. Around $100,000 area if we wanted to purchase that. I think there's been some interest just lately in purchasing that by other people. And there's also buildings going in on the other side of the road now in this farm ground, so maybe I'll touch base with that owner. I've touched base with this owner up here just north of the tower to see if we could put something in there. Farmers generally don't like a chunk taken out of their road, so that's why it's hard. So when you find areas that's already got chunks out of it, it's a possibility. That realtor we're working at on the Kelly Corner has been looking too, and he found this person here that's willing to split off the front. He lives here, but there's another house here, It's just not an ideal location because he'd be right next to a house and his access goes right through that property. I just don't see how we can make that one work, but it's another option out there that's been offered up. And zoning issues too, is I was working with Charlie to, I don't know if we have a governmental exemption or not, but even if we did, I still wouldn't want to be right next to a house because we got backup alarms going at 5 in the morning. This wouldn't be a good situation. North of the co-op over here, I talked to them about possibly this piece, and they're sending it through all their channels, but it doesn't sound like they're going to want to do that. Blacks have a residence that was torn down just north of that. We're going to touch base with them to see if they may have some interest. It's been a struggle. We're making things work, so this has got to go another year or something. We can make it work without a problem.
Let's try not to have it go another year. I've had a couple of good preliminary conversations with Warren Madden, the vice president at Iowa State. He is receptive to trying to figure out something. It would probably be, and it's been real preliminary conversation, probably be a long-term lease kind of situation with Iowa State somewhere in that Kelly Corner area. The next step, and actually I talked to him before I left town a week ago, and I'm supposed to call him tomorrow to try to set a time for you and I to go over and visit with him and whoever it is that he would want to bring in and try to move the conversation along. So just to keep you aware that I haven't completely let this thing go, and maybe Iowa State will be our best option if they have a spot that would work for us.
Good. This is the DOT's 5-year program. Just it came out. This is still the draft version. I don't know if they've officially approved this yet. But the main things is Airport Road and Nevada Interchange. S-14 and Nevada, it's well-needed interchanges in 19 and 20 years right now. So that's the first step in the Ames to Nevada corridor. None of the rest of that stuff shows up in the program at this point, but that's a good first step to get that interchange done.
In a conversation with Scott Dockstetter, his indication is that on their priority list for this area, the very first thing in the next step of the 5-year calendar would be 590th and 600th, which are not recognized here.
Good. The other items are mostly I-35, a lot of construction on the Skunk River bridges, and then the flyover interchange at 30-35, that'll be in 17. So a lot of work in the next 2 years on I-35. Two bridges in there. One is the Kegley branch, that's on Highway 69 north of Ames. That'll be real soon, this fall or next spring. And then one's out 5 years, that's the Colo Bridge, Lincoln Highway and 65. The two projects the City of Ames is involved with right now is Grant Avenue and University. Those have both just started this past week. There's been a little bit of a communication shortfall with Ames. They've had a lot of staff turnover. So coming up with agreements on who's going to maintain these two stretches when it's over has been a little bit delayed, but I'm working with the new person now finally, and hopefully have an agreement before too long on the maintenance when these both get done. This is a picture of University, three roundabouts. This is Airport Road and University. These are smaller single lane roundabouts, and then this one's a little bit more complex. It has two lanes going into them. This is still county property here, and some of these driveways are coming right into the middle of the roundabouts, which hopefully that works out well, but they've hired consultants to do all this design, and I assume they've talked with these landowners about it.
But they shifted that part of the road further to the east, right? So how does that line up with our right-of-way? Because right now we own, the county is centerline west of that stretch, right?
Correct.
But now they've shifted everything, so it seems to me that the centerline is either going to be on that far western edge of the roadway or just off of it. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, most of the pavement's shifted to the east. They did, where's the box culvert? That must be right here. they had to extend out a box culvert to, so there's some, these dark areas are the work areas outside the right of way, so they had to work with those landowners in some of those areas, but when the roads are said and done, I think most of the pavement will be in the city side, but we're still going to need a maintenance agreement to make sure who's responsible for it. I personally like roundabouts. They usually work pretty well, I think. Maintenance in Iowa is a little difficult with our bigger equipment, and these smaller roundabouts could be a struggle maintenance-wise, snow plowing, but generally I like them.
Now, is there a question in your mind about who the maintenance resides with on these roads? Because in my mind, it's the city of Ames.
Grant, we established that a couple of years ago, but nothing's ever been put in writing. I'd like to see that for legal reasons put in writing. This one, I haven't heard those discussions, so that, this one's kind of been in the open. I don't.
Well, I'll say it right now. My understanding is that this all reverts to the city of Ames for maintenance of these. That was one of the things that we talked about early on when we were talking about this research park. And so if it's any different than that, we need to get involved quickly to make sure. I don't think we want our motor graders messing with these areas.
No, that would be difficult.
That said, I do like the idea of a roundabout, by the way, and I'll tell you where I think our first roundabout should go, and that is Dayton Road and... well, you can do Dayton Road and Riverside, or just north of that is
E29.
Yeah.
Riverside. Dayton.
That's a possibility. Where they work best is when you have four legs and you have about equal traffic coming into all four legs. yeah, well, keep that in mind. Another thing the city of Ames is working on is their long-range 2040 mobility plan. I know you can't see that, but I just wanted to give you, in general, they're looking at areas, anything in their boundary, which extended up to Gilbert. Some of the projects, in general, Zumalt they had in here that they've eliminated. 13th Street, they eliminated their orange, which is eliminated. The reason those are eliminated is because they consider those developmental, that developer will pay for those, so they don't include those in their federal money plan. That's the same. They had also looked at North Dakota and putting something around the opposite way, and they've, that one they just said wasn't feasible. That's why they eliminated that one.
Granted, the same thing.
Yeah. Eliminated that. It's orange just due to developer will pay for that when that comes. I talked to you, Wayne, about the grant. A lot of comments came in about grant, of course, if you're aware, the need to pave grant. And they put that in the category of committed, and that's what I explained to them. Yes, the county is committed. It's still in our 2017 plan, but funding still hasn't been necessarily approved for it, or we don't know where it's coming from. So I wanted to make them aware of that so that if they have any funding sources available, we could sure use it. They show the new interchange over here by off of Highway 30. But in general, if you have any questions about any of those in particular, let me know. But they're putting all these projects in. They're trying to make categories and how they're going to rate each project and how they're going to rank in their final priorities at this point. Alliant Pipeline, this is a picture from the one they've completed from 13th Street up north. As always happens in this area of the country, we have so many tile issues. We're going to run into tile issues when they're done. This is one where they actually bored under the county road. A lot of times that's a good thing because they avoid everything and they don't dig anything up. This one just happened to hit a tile directly. So it doesn't show up until the next year. We're able to finally identify, but it's hard to fix because they're both on the same elevation then. They can't really lower the pipeline, so they had to go quite a ways back and reroute the tile to get drainage through here. Similar problem over on 570th Avenue. They put in that substation. They got cheap ground, I think, is in a low wet spot where all the tile was going through. It was a horrible spot to put it, but that's where it was on private property, so we didn't have any control over that. So we've had a lot of tile issues right there. We've been getting resolved as well. But I was just notified a week ago that they have their next phase is going to happen this fall already. That's going to go from that substation on 570th down to Barilla. They don't have the details to me yet, so I can't tell how much of that is in county property. But the way the code spells out, even if it's in the city of Ames, if it's farmed ground, it still falls under the purview of the board to hire an inspector to do that. At this point, I plan on just carrying over. We had a collapse at Garber hired to do the last phase, and they can just carry that contract over and keep going on this one. So we would be inspecting inside of the city limits. This goes, is it that Hendrickson Marsh? Is that what that's called out there? They're going to be going through that area. That first phase they put down that went by Holub's, they had to put all that in county right away because they couldn't get the private property easements. Their goal is to put this stretch down through that area on private property. It's going to be a tough sell, but so you may hear more about that coming up. But that's supposed to happen this fall. And then the major Dakota Access Pipeline, haven't heard much about it recently other than the property owner meetings that have been taking place. I don't know if it's being delayed or not. I know all the pipes being delivered down in Jasper County. They have a huge laydown yard down there. But I assume it's still on plan to start this fall. But until we get official approval from the utilities board, we're not working with them on permits or anything. One issue that's going to come up, let me show you on the... We have the one pumping station in the whole state, and it's right here by I-35.
It's just east of I-35, right?
Just east. And the problem is that's like a half a mile level B maintenance road for us. There's a picture of it right here. That's the interstate traffic back there you see. Not much of a road left there at all, and the pumping station's going at the very end of it. So at some point, we're going to have to start discussing details on what level of service they need and how much they're willing to put into this road to bring it back up, whether we bring it back to a level A or, in general, we don't let rock go down on level B roads because that's against the level B policy. So you almost have to bring it to an A.
This is one of the pumping stations for the proposed pipeline if it goes through.
Correct.
And this is the only one identified for Story County.
This is the only one in the state for a pumping station, so this will be a building. So I assume it's going to need constant access to get back there.
What is involved with taking so level B, so we don't have anybody utilizing this road on a regular basis? It's basically farm field access.
Yeah.
What would be involved? Is there a mechanism for that, for us to deed it, assuming that everything was approved by IPIP, and in fact this thing did go ahead? Is there a mechanism for us to just deed it to them and it becomes their
Look into that. I assume if it's a level B road, it usually means there's access issues to the actual farm ground. So I'm guessing we probably can't get rid of the road that way.
Could you handle that with, and I'm not necessarily asking you, we've got our new civil counsel sitting here today. Is it possible to deed something like that to them where they're responsible for it, but you also put an easement, have an easement go along with it that allows public access to those?
Yeah, that'd be a possibility. They might be for it because they'll get an upgraded road out of the deal. I'll look into that.
I'd have a hard time going to a level A road paid for by Story County, maintained by Story County for one user, basically one user.
I agree. That'd be a much better option. And as you can see all the utilities, there's major transmission lines on this side and this. But when you vacate a road, which we'd be doing in that case, those easements would stay in place for the utility, so that wouldn't be an issue. So that may be an option. I'll look into that.
Okay.
Lastly, I just put that picture up.
Why
it's important to hire good employees. We did hire a new employee. This is not a county truck. Thankfully, this is just outside of Mark Marietta. With the truck driver just rolled it right off the edge of the road and dumped his whole load in the ditch. So maybe clean that up.
Is that their little rest area that we got emails on?
Okay. Yep, that was a few weeks ago that happened. But we did get a new truck driver hired.
I think he's working now.
Yeah. They're driving some expensive pieces of equipment, so it's good to have good employees. New employee Ryan Peterson out of Story City started July 6th due to a retirement we had in-house. And lastly, I just want to make you aware, we had one motor grader swap recently. We have one large district south of Ames that heads all the way down to Slater. That's our most heavily traveled motor grader district, and it requires a lot of attention. The operator we had in that area we weren't getting on the same page of the level of service that's required. It's not that he's a bad operator. He liked to get off and do other things, and you just can't do that with that district. So he's better off in another district, and thankfully we had a more senior operator step up the plate and say he would switch over into that district. So there'll be a new operator in that district, and the new operator from that district will come be south of Nevada here, where that person will be much better suited. He's not a bad operator. That's not the issue. It's just being on the same page with a level of service. I just want to make you aware that's taken place recently. That is all I have. Questions?
Miss your tire form yet?
I do, especially after yesterday. A lot of intakes blown out, and
he's anxious to come back.
Yeah.
How'd everything go?
Good.
Good. Just a couple months recovery now.
A couple months.
Yep. Yeah.
Darren, do we have a survey coming up next Thursday?
I don't believe that's on the calendar.
Okay. I thought at the last meeting I told him that I was going to be out of state or whenever that next meeting was, and I was thinking it was here in July.
I can tell you for sure right now.
Okay.
I'll work with you on us getting over and visiting with Iowa State and see if that's going to be a viable alternative. I hate to push that off another year.
So do I, but it's hard to come by land these days. You mentioned meeting with some landowners on that drainage district.
This would be a good place to talk about that. I believe, and Paul and Wayne, let me hear what you guys think. At a minimum, I think we need to go meet with Lounsbury.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple more. But it just seems like what we're talking about doing there is going to most directly impact him. And I'd like him to hear about it from us rather than somewhere else.
Yeah, I think more than any other district meeting we've had, this has more options that are available that don't necessarily need to be done. So, I think we probably need to get them involved from the front, and so they don't get scared by the price tag right up front.
You're right. So, can you look at setting something up for us to just probably go over to his house and visit with him for a couple minutes?
Do that.
Jessica, that would be as drainage district trustees figure out what we would need to do if a couple or all three of us. I'm thinking, Wayne, if we can handle this while you're gone, it'd be Paul and I that would go over and visit with him, see what we need to do in terms of open meetings to go visit with one specific landowner about a drainage district issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Next item is environmental health, Margaret James. Hi, Margaret. Thank you for waiting all the way through.
Yeah. Do you want me to just wait till next week? Are you guys, I assume no one packed a lunch today, or?
How long are you going to be?
Not long. I'll zip.
Let's go.
All right. You go right where you want to.
Let me say this as you're sitting down. One of the really, really nice things that we get as supervisors is when our staff gets complimented for their level of service, professionalism, and just the way they go about serving the people of Story County. Margaret, we get more positive comments about you and your level of service and your expertise. It's just outstanding. You deserve to be commended for that, and we really appreciate the job that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. I do.
I tell you that all the time, Margaret.
Yes, you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so I will try to make this fast, skip some of the numbers and that. Septic is slower this year. I think before last year, the interest rates were so great, and all the busyness happened then, and things are slowing down a little bit here. So, but it is what it is, and we've got plenty of work, just not as busy as last year. The other thing I was going to mention, I scrambled my PowerPoint. So I'm missing some slides, so I apologize for that. But one of the one of the slides that's missing is for the wells, and we're down compared to last year. And I did want to mention that we did have one geothermal that had to be canceled because of the geology. You might be familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, actually, I've got geothermal. It just was not, it now instead of being a vertical well, it's a horizontal well.
Yeah.
And they go back and forth, amazingly enough. So I tried to go vertical. This is the new house that got in our building. Tried to go vertical, and we kept hitting voids, so they had to stop that. It's only money, Paul. It's only money.
Is it cheaper to go vertical?
The grout would go and down then, and just go and
so
disappear.
So now they've got, I don't know, like a dozen pipes going back and forth from one side of the house to the other. I mean, down deep, under everything. So one of the more amazing things ever, and
yeah.
I get to keep writing checks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for bringing up the source subject. I take back everything I said to start this.
Amazing. And arsenic testing, Story County is now going to start doing some arsenic testing through the Grants to Counties program. EPA revised the level from 50 to 10 back in 2001. And then Cerro Gordo did a little pilot program and learned that there are some arsenic concerns, although I think they are pulling from a different aquifer. So we'll do some random arsenic testing and see if we need to continue with that. It won't cost the county anything because it will all be covered by the grant, and we'll also make money for doing that service. Flood inspection program. Homeward wanted to give up the grant, so we did not apply for it this year, mainly due to the small number of cases and the amount of work for that small number of people affected. So I'm handing over 9 open cases. Just last week we got a new one, so that was a little bad timing. So instead of 8, we now have 9 open cases. One EDL lead poisoning case is receiving the HUD grant to change out the windows, siding, and everything. Fantastic opportunity for them. And then I've notified all of the open cases, the property owners, that we are transferring those cases over to Iowa Department of Public Health. For the pool, tattoo, and tanning inspection program, we just wrapped up. We've been at breakneck speed getting those last few outdoor pools done because, you know, they open Memorial Day weekend, and then so it gives us a month, basically, to get all of those pools inspected before the fiscal year is over. So staff has done an excellent job of covering those pools. They really, really... And then on some of those hot days out there inspecting pools, it's miserable. And then that report is due August 1st. And then so the next meeting, I will give you a summary of the types of violations we're seeing. Let's see. We've completed all the tattoo inspections, found 7 violations, nothing major, mostly paperwork violations. Tanning. Oh, and the thing about the tattoo places is that Ames Resource and Recovery, they have now made it easier for people to drop off their sharps, so it's not as big of an issue. Let's see. Tanning, total of 20 facilities, and we've administered 5 tests. They have to come into the county here and sit and take a written exam if they want to operate or own a tanning facility. And those violations were minor also. One thing I forgot to add on this, we also do the septic pumper inspections. We've completed those. And the biggest problem that we have is that Drain Tech wants to land apply sewage closer than 750 feet from their own house. They want to do it. The state doesn't want to allow them to do it. So this keeps going back and forth with the state, county, and pumper/homeowner. The other thing, too, is that they are applying the fats, oils, and greases when they pump out the grease traps in the cities, and it's kind of icky, but we've only received one complaint ever, and I think that was a year ago, and that was from the landscape store across the highway from them. So far, so good. I don't like seeing that much sewage going on one chunk of land all of the time. It makes me nervous, but the state allows it. Enforcement, 7 outstanding time of transfer binding agreements, 1 overdue. Those are mostly just demolition or putting a system in later after they get their money together. That's just fine. No one's living there, so there's no added wastewater to the problem. 4 new notice of violations just in June. 2 were open discharge of sewage, and that was both at Crestview, and then 2 for failure to hook up to city sewer. 6 complaints, mostly Crestview, 1 for Nald, and then just today we received one on Twin Anchors about animal abuse, scummy water, and noise. So we're going to look into that. Greens to counties changes, they're upping our numbers a little bit. So well, rehab will go from 600 to 1,000. Plugging is up. Cistern is the same, 300. And then they're increasing our light items for education, equipment, and advertising a little bit. And then they're adding that arsenic testing coverage. Abandoned building, we were all set to burn this, control burn. It's been a issue of a complaint for a really long time, 2.5 years, and it suddenly caught fire. So now it's gone, so now it's no one's complaining, so we're good. Crestview update. Okay, Ethan, listen up. We're going to get an office for him out there. No. So we can see
there's
if we can get this
squared away.
There's a
reason that we put him down there right next to you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So anyway, so DNR has issued letter of noncompliance well stuff, installing a gauge, and then increasing the storage capacity because they're running out of water. The county is working with Crestview to get the titles and the junking certificates for the abandoned trailers. So the treasurer is working on that. And as soon as they have the paperwork done, boom, they've got like a month to get those out of there. That's creating a different problem in a few slides forward here. And then, like I said, 2 notice of violations were issued for open sewage. They are pretty quick about getting that cleaned up. I'll say that. Okay. So this was the open discharge of the sewage. It was going straight out into Lincoln Highway ditch right there. Just a steady stream of untreated sewage. That was super duper gross. This picture, an unhappy tenant has been sneaking in pictures to me. And this shows a secondary water source supplementing their public water supply. And that is not acceptable because it's not a known safe source. Okay, so I'm working with DNR to clamp down on this situation. This is just some pictures. You see in that middle picture there, it's showing an extension cord for service to that guy. And so I reported this situation to Dwight Kramer, who does the electrical inspections. So everyone is just getting more focused on this to try to stop all these problems. Left one there is just when people move out, they leave dirty diapers and this and that. So it's not like Crestview it's not like management is causing all the problems. There's also problems from the tenants themselves. You know, they get hard feelings, and then they try to really leave things in a real mess before they leave. Another issue is the burn pile. I believe that these trailers, they're getting the metal and stuff out that they can sell, but like the insulation and that, I think it's going to their burn pile. I took pictures of there. He didn't, he wouldn't let me in until he talked to Jessica, and so Jessica finally talked him into letting me into his burn pile area. To me, it looks like there's all sorts of stuff other than logs being burned. So that's illegal burning. I want to get them in the act. And so that's where George is going to come in handy. Now that he has this extra time, he's going to call me at home when he sees these fires. And there's also another illegal burner 2 doors down. So we're going to just get everybody squared away over there. Training is a meeting, so we're always training a meeting. So that's good enough. Slater Source Water Protection. I met with Slater and a bunch of folks down there. The Iowa Rural Water Association was a lead agency, and what they're wanting to do is just protect their water source for their wells down there. So our part will be identifying the abandoned wells in the area and the septic systems, the places that don't have septic systems, similar to how we did with the Hickory Grove. And then they're also talking about the us and less sites, farming practices, City Lagoon, different things that would impact water quality down there. Okay. They don't have nitrate problems because it is well water, not surface water that they use. So on the miscellany, performance evaluations were submitted to HR. The blue-green...
Thank you for that.
That's no fun, I'm here to tell you. Yeah. We need to shorten those babies up a little bit.
Well, it's one of those things like going to the dentist that sometimes is not a lot of fun, but it's really, really necessary. And if we're going to get where we're trying to get with the performance with the performance-based pay increases, we've got to have a baseline to do it. So thank you for doing it. I know it's not any fun. It's just part of the deal.
Okay. Let's see, and then blue-green algae is not monitored by the county, so the different lakes that if we have it, we do not report that to DNR. Other larger lakes do have that in the state, and I think the difference is if you have lifeguards, then you can take it up a notch and also monitor the algae. But they figure if you don't have the base layer of saving a life from drowning, why bother with the toxins? That is their thinking. Okay. So,
there's some logic in that.
No, there's really not.
Well, you know, statistically, the blue-green algae is going to get you before you drown, but who knows. And then for mosquito control, I just had to confirm this with Mike. No mosquito control done by the county, none, because we get property owners wanting us to come out and spray. So... So we just say no, nobody does that here. Hickory Grove Lake update. So no new systems went in this spring, so that's goofing up my budget big time, okay? So, and it's the rain and the busyness of the contractors. I'll just put it that way. And so we've got a couple that are going to go in the next couple weeks, okay?
And we got all but one in the area that has agreed to do it.
Yes, yes. And so as soon as they go in, the homeowners are going to want to be paid. And so I'm going to have to somehow amend the budget, and I don't know if I can do it in time in order to get those checks in the mail to those individual property owners for that. So I will work with Lisa to see how that goes, because you know how she cordons off some of the budget that you can spend right away and others not. That could be a problem.
Let's just work closely with Lisa to make sure. We like to only allocate 50%, which is in fact what you guys did last week. But that should give you plenty of money in your budget to be able to handle it short term. It doesn't get you to the end of 6 months.
Except, the money that was supposed to pay for this is actually in the fiscal year 15. Yeah. So that's gone.
Well,
so I'll work with Lisa.
Fortunately, we didn't burn it. It's still around.
The money?
We can get access to it, and this is something that's important. And it is important that we get the money to the landowner as quickly as possible.
It is, yeah. And then I work with Mike and Amy to work to write up the annual report for the IDOLs. I guess that's every 6 months we have to write a report to them. Amy did a really good job on that. She keeps us all in line.
Good.
That's it.
Thank you very much. Good job.
Thank you.
Next item is public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. We can't take any action due to the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us? You got anything from the public point of view, Margaret?
Just general comments. I've received general comments about the pipeline.
It sounds to me like there's something coming on our agenda, maybe on the 21st of July. Well, I think we'll see our friends from ICCI again on the 21st of July. And so there'll be ample time for conversation here at the board meeting on the 21st of July.
Okay, 21st of July.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep. And we'll find out for sure if that's coming. But, of course, I think each of us met individually with the League of Women Voter Representatives yesterday, and so it's my understanding at this point that something's going to be coming to this board for discussion on the 21st of July. Thanks, Margaret. I take it that there is no other public comments for items not on this agenda. Move on to liaison assignments. Paul Two.
Pass.
Wayne Clinton.
Pass.
Announcements from the supervisors. Paul.
Let's take a second to extend the
Board of condolences to the Farron family in Colo. Mark Farron passed away Sunday. I've known Mark for a long time. He was a fire chief in Colo for 33 years, had served on the department since 1976, kind of following his dad's footsteps. He was a good guy and fought a valiant battle with cancer and was unsuccessful. So condolences to his family and the whole community over there.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Is he related at all to Brett, to the claim? He's not Brett's brother.
No.
We just received notice again that his brother passed away suddenly.
Yes.
And then he's going to be out of the office. So certainly want to express condolence to Brett McLean and his family for their sudden loss as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. I will be out of the office leaving Thursday for NACO, attending the National Association of Counties annual conference in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. And so I will miss next Tuesday's meeting. On Sunday, of course, we will be recognized for the NACO Achievement Award for our strategic planning. I did receive an email from Lars from NACO. There's about over 100 different awardees that is being recognized. In other words, to be recognized in NACO, first of all, your state association would have had to give you some type of recognition for the work that you've done in several innovative activities, and we did receive that and was forwarded on to NACO. So the email basically indicates that at the actual luncheon ceremony, only 21 of the best category in each of the winners will actually go up on stage because of time constraints, but they're anticipating well over 100 awards will be recognized, and so everything will be in publication and programs and so forth. So I'm not sure where we all fit in on that, but I did forward the video that Leanne was gracious enough to help prepare, which identifies how we went through this process, and it's on our website for the general public to see. So I'm honored on behalf of the board to at least receive this recognition through the National Association of Counties next Sunday.
Absolutely. And Wayne, I'll just say from Paul and I's perspective, we are so appreciative of the way you represent us with NACO. It is one less thing that Paul and I have to worry about because we know we're in such good hands with you representing us. And just a word about the honor that we've got. I think it is an outstanding recognition. We worked hard as a board to try to get in front of things on the planning side of things. I know it wasn't always easy on staff, but our staff stepped up and we got through it. And it's right that we're being recognized for some of that planning. And Wayne, we sure appreciate you going and accepting on all of our behalf. And we hope you travel safely. And we'll see you in a week.
Yep.
That moves us to adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.